से पंच तत्व मिली प्रीति असिया पूर्व प्रेम भांतरेरा मुद्र उखदिया हंसे मिले दुते प्रेम खरे अस्वदान यात यात पिये तृष्णा बादे अनुक्षान. The characteristics of Krishna are understood to be a storehouse of transcendental love. Although that storehouse of love certainly came with Krishna when he was present, it was sealed. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with his associates of the Panchatattva, they broke the seal and plundered the storehouse to taste transcendental love of Krishna. The more they tasted it, the more their thirst grew for it. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called Mahabharanyaya Avatar because although he is Sri Krishna himself, he is even more favorably disposed to the poor fallen souls than Lord Sri Krishna. When Lord Sri Krishna himself was personally present, he demanded that everyone surrender unto him and promised that he would give one all protection. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this earth with his associates, he simply distributed transcendental love of God without discrimination. Sri Rupa Goswami therefore could understand that Lord Chaitanya was none other than Sri Krishna himself, for no one but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can distribute confidential love of the Supreme Person. Puna puna piyaya haya mahamata nache kande hase gaya yai che madamata. Sri Panchatattva themselves danced again and again and thus made it easier to drink the nectarine love of Godhead. They danced, cried, laughed, and chanted like madmen, and in this way they distributed love of Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. People generally cannot understand the actual meaning of chanting and dancing. Describing the Goswamis, Sri Srinivasacharya stated, Krishna kirtanakana narathanaparo. Not only did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates demonstrate this chanting and dancing, but the six Goswamis also followed in the next generation. The present Krishna consciousness movement follows the same principle, and therefore simply by chanting and dancing we have received good responses all over the world. It is to be understood, however, that this chanting and dancing do not belong to this material world. They are actually transcendental activities. For the more one engages in chanting and dancing, the more he can taste the nectar of transcendental love of Godhead. Patra patra vichara nahi nahi sanastan jayanha payatanha kori prematan. In distributing love of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates did not consider who was a fit candidate and who was not, nor where such distribution should or should not take place. They made no conditions. Wherever they got the opportunity, the members of the Panchatattva distributed love of Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are some rascals who dare to speak against the mission of Lord Chaitanya by criticizing the Krishna consciousness movement for accepting Europeans and Americans as Brahmins and offering them sannyas. But here is an authoritative statement that in distributing love of Godhead, one should not consider whether the recipients are Europeans, Americans, Hindus, Muslims, etc. The Krishna consciousness movement should be spread wherever possible, and one should accept those who thus become Vaishnavas as being greater than Brahmins, Hindus, or Indians. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu desired that his name be spread in every town and village on the surface of the globe. Therefore, when the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is spread all over the world, should those who embrace it not be accepted as Vaishnavas, Brahmins, and Sannyasis? These foolish arguments are sometimes raised by envious rascals, but Krishna-conscious devotees do not care about them. We strictly follow the principles set down by the Panchatattva. Lutiya kaiya diya bandara ujade, ascharya bandara prema satagunavade. Although the members of the Panchatattva plundered the storehouse of love of Godhead and ate and distributed its contents, there was no scarcity, for this wonderful storehouse is so complete that as the love is distributed, the supply increases hundreds of times. Uchalila premavanya chorike vadaya stri vridha balaka yuva sabare dubai. The flood of love of God had swelled in all directions, and thus young men, old men, women, and children were all immersed in that inundation. Purport. When the contents of the storehouse of love of God is thus distributed, there is a powerful inundation that covers the entire land. In Sridhar Mayapur, there is sometimes a great flood after the rainy season. This is an indication that from the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, the inundation of love of God should be spread all over the world, for this will help everyone, including old men, young men, women, and children. The Krishna consciousness movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so powerful that it can inundate the entire world.
Be if they are following nicely Krishna conscious principles. To give all credit to those whose mercy is making my spiritual life possible. To feel oneself completely helpless and dependent on the Lord's kindness upon us. In this spirit of a truly humble servant of the servant of the servant, can we experience the love of Krishna when we chant his holy name. Request to all the assembled worshipable devotees is keep this ideal foremost in your life. Do not let Maya cheat.
Tahadeki pancha janya parama ulas. When the five members of the Panchatattva saw the entire world drowned in love of Godhead, and the seed of material enjoyment in the living entities being destroyed, they all became exceedingly happy. Yata yata prema vrishti kori pancha jane, tata tata bade jala vyapitri bhuvane. The more the five members of the Panchatattva caused the rains of love of God to fall, the more the inundation increases and spreads all over the world. Mayavari karmanishta kutarika kakatkana nindaka pasandiyata paduya adhama. The impersonalists, fruitive workers, false logicians, blasphemers, non-devotees, and lowest among the student community are very expert in avoiding the Krishna consciousness movement, and therefore the inundation of Krishna consciousness cannot touch them. তাহা দেখি মহাপ্রভু করে না চিন্তান, জগতা দুবাইতে আমি করিলন যথান।
Seeing that the Maya bodies and others were fleeing, Lord Chaitanya thought, I wanted everyone to be immersed in this inundation of love of Godhead, but some of them have escaped. Therefore I shall devise a trick to drown them also.
Eta bali manikichi koriya vichar, sanyasashram prabhu koila anik angikar.
Thus the Lord accepted the sannyas order of life after full consideration.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
There was no need for Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to accept sannyas, for he is God himself, and therefore has nothing to do with the material bodily conception of life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not identify himself with any of the 8 varnas and ashrams, namely, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. He identified himself as the Supreme Spirit. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or for that matter, any pure devotee, never identifies with the social and spiritual divisions of life, for a devotee is always transcendental to these different gradations of society. Nevertheless, Lord Chaitanya decided to
both the demigods and the demons worship the Lord as devotees. So you may ask, what are demons doing in the spiritual world? Vaikuntha says the demons are in the spiritual world. But it's very inconceivable. Because if you're a devotee, you're not a demon. And it says the demons worship the Lord as devotees. So what does that mean? The demons aren't demons. So why are they called demons? Because they're devotees. You have to go there to find out what it means. Whoever you were in this material world, you may have been a demon, but to go to the spiritual world, you're a devotee. Whatever your past may have been. Just like Radha Gopinath Temple. It's the spiritual world. Everyone's devotees. But what were we before we came to Radha Gopinath Temple? Sometimes, due to the modes of passion and ignorance, we may have been doing all things that are displeasing to Krishna, demoniac things. But now we're all dancing and singing together as devotees. And real happiness. And therefore, if they want to actually understand what is truth, they have to go back to the beginning point, that I don't know anything, that everything I learned is useless. And this is Arjuna's example. He thought he knew everything, but the more he came up with his theories and hypotheses and relative truths, the more he became miserable and confused. But it was only by Krishna's mercy that he realized he was miserable and confused. If you do not realize that you're miserable, confused, and you are miserable and confused, then you're in the saddest condition. And that is why devotees, when they see materialistic people who think they're happy, they understand they are the worst condition. And when they see materialistic people who know they're miserable, they think, oh, there is some hope for them. In Navadvip, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving the absolute truth, sambandha, abhideya, prayojana, and the simple method of achieving the conclusions of all of these tattvas, which is the chanting of Harinam Sankirtan. The simple people, they took to the process very nicely. And who was it that he had the most...
dumb ass, that's all. What is the position of an ass? He carries a huge burden. But what is that burden? He's thinking that if I carry this burden, I will get some grass. But actually, there's grass on the side of the road. He can just eat it. So similarly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, all this knowledge is just like a big burden in my life. And I've been struggling and striving to accumulate more burden on my life. The more you know, the more you think you can enjoy, the more egoistic you become, and the burden gets higher and higher and higher mounted upon you. The basis of the desire for material enjoyment is ahankar, false ego. We all think we are something very wonderful, but we do not even know who or what we are. And this false ego wants to enjoy more and more and more. And the more you get, the bigger your ego becomes, so the more you need. And when egos clash, it creates conflict within the family, conflict within the society, conflict within the nation, conflict between nations. What is wars? It is simply the clash of ego. We may have so many political, theological, anxiety, and so much conflict within the nation. And besides that, Russia was at their peak of communist power. And the Soviet premier, Nikita Khrushchev, he was just building nuclear bombs like anything. And America was building nuclear bombs like anything. It was the worst arms race the world has ever seen. Hydrogen bomb, atom bombs, nuclear bombs just being created more and more, all pointed toward every city of America and Russia, with all sorts of various technology being created. And the whole world was fearful there could be a war, a nuclear war, any day. When I was a little boy in the 1950s, and even in the 60s, it was such a fear that these bombs at any moment are going to start exploding and destroy civilization. That even in my neighborhood, which was just in a village, a small town where I was brought up, anybody who had a lot of money, they would invest it in bomb shelter. It was you're laughing. You don't know what bomb shelter is here. People had it in their backyards, right behind their house, very costly. It was a big business building bomb shelters. They just dig deep, deep, deep down into the ground, underground. Then they put all kinds of thick because he knew that the knowledge of this magazine is the only means by which the world can be saved from its ultimate disasters. So we see how determined he was. We're reading how Surendra Kumar Jain, the printer, is describing Prabhupada's situation. Please, with your hearts open, understand what Srila Prabhupada was doing and why. He had no money. He was a businessman in pharmaceutical trade. And at times he was quite successful. But he understood that he could not really do the will of his spiritual master as long as he was bound by all these commitments. For decades he responsibly took care of his family by maintaining his businesses very nicely and preaching Krishna consciousness, helping his guru and helping his godbrothers. He was a first-class grihastha in every exemplary way. But at a certain point in his life, he understood what is happening to the world. It's an emergency. This knowledge of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the only hope for the world today. So therefore, with that idea, he left his business.
He took vanaprast. He was old enough to do so according to the proper traditions of varnashram dharma.
Nobody cares for us anymore. We're not young, we're not beautiful, we're not exuberant, we're simply a liability. And if we're from a good cultured place, when we're old, we may be tolerated and cared for. And if we're not, we're simply rejected. After years and years of dedication to those who reject us or somehow tolerate us. This world, a place of envy and greed, pride and lust. What happiness can be found here? It is like a burning fire, and we are all being scorched by that fire. But Maya is so wonderful in her empowered condition that she still keeps us striving to remain in this fire. Krishna is coming to take us out, but we're not willing to leave it. The very objects that cause us suffering, we're not willing to let go of. Krishna comes again and again in so many avatars just to allow us to make the proper use of our free will and be happy. Of all incarnations of the Supreme Lord, there is one that is most merciful, magnanimous, freely giving the ultimate perfection of pure love of God to everyone and anyone without the slightest discrimination. And that is Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He comes in this age of Kali because it is the time when there is the greatest need. In Satya Yuga, the Lord doesn't have to be so merciful. Because in Satya Yuga, practically everyone is a devotee. People are pious. They have to do tremendous tapasya, but almost everyone is fit to do it. But in this Kali Yuga, people have become so degraded. So much irreligion in the name of religion. So much compromise in the name of spirituality. Such broad expert propaganda of science and technology promoting atheism and materialism. People are drowning in this ocean of birth and death in this age of Kali. Even the avatars like Mahavishnu, Advaitacharya, Narada Muni, Srivas Thakur, such great souls. The Supreme Lord and His most intimate Shaktivesh avatars were here, and even they considered that the people of Kali Yuga are too fallen for even us to reclaim. Only the most merciful original Krishna in His most magnanimous feature of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could possibly help the people of this age of Kali to achieve Krishna Prema. So the devotees in Srivasa's house, through so many methods, sometimes through leprosy, sometimes through cholera, sometimes by defeating Keshav Gopal Chapala, Gopal Chakravarti, some Keshav Kashmiri, just completely destroyed his ego and put him in a completely blank state of mind. So we all have to be humbled. The whole purpose of material energy is to humble us. And this was shown at the beginning of creation. Brahma was the greatest intellect. Brahma was born directly from Vishnu, therefore his name is Atmabhu. And from his birth, if anyone were to perform his horoscope, they would see that he was destined to live 311 trillion years. Hare Krishna. What kind of person is this?
such a great personality with the capacity to create planets and species and millions of children. But yet, in this material universe, due to the nature of the external energy, he was completely bewildered. He didn't know who he was, where he was, what he was, how he was supposed to live. And by his own means, it was impossible for him to figure it out. He was in darkness. But then he humbled himself and he realized, I know nothing. And then Krishna spoke these two sacred syllables, Tapa. And Brahma, as a perfect disciple, heard submissively the words of his guru and executed it, applied it to his life,
set the stage so that Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya's mercy can deliver anyone and everyone who will accept it throughout the world. And if not for Srila Prabhupada's great munificence, where would we be? Practically all of the various sectors of Lord Chaitanya's movement were dwindling until Srila Prabhupada came and just nourished the root by pleasing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to such a degree. And it is for this reason that the members of Srila Prabhupada's mission, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, should have complete unshakable faith that simply by assisting Srila Prabhupada in this work of delivering Lord Chaitanya's supreme munificence, of sharing Radharani's love with the world, will achieve the ultimate mercy of the Lord. There is nothing we can do to please Krishna more than wholesale giving our life to following Srila Prabhupada's wonderful teachings and assisting him in his munificent service to the all-munificent Lord. I would like to go on. No one, not even Lord Brahma, can ascertain or even taste a drop of this confidential ocean of ecstasy. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of his causeless mercy, has distributed this love of Godhead all over the world. Thus, that the father's giving his daughter to another family to take care of out of affection for his daughter, he wants to show appreciation for this family for accepting her, for protecting her for the rest of her life. Therefore, he gives all sorts of wonderful, wonderful wealth and gifts to that family as a gratitude for accepting the responsibility of the daughter and also to help them to maintain the daughter. It's not a cheap thing to maintain a woman, as most of you may know. When you have a Mataji in your house, it's not always so easy. You have to provide food, you have to provide clothing, you have to provide a place, you have to for the whole life. It's not that the father's just dropping a burden on the family. Take my daughter, she's yours. She's your problem now. No, this is my precious daughter, she's so dear to me. I want to help you in maintaining her throughout the life. This is my love for her and my gratitude to you. So take this. Take the best that I have with her. It was love. It was actual affection. It wasn't a rule. But as Kali Yuga progresses, even the nicest, sweetest, most enriched spiritual culture becomes degraded to just dry, mundane ritual. Not only that, but people exploit the sacred for their own greedy purposes. So what is the duty of human life?
Spiritual substance from the Lord, but has minute independence or the freedom of choice to either serve the Lord or forget the Lord. And the material energy, the third energy, is the illusory energy. For those who have misused their free will to want to compete with God rather than serve God, we are cast in an abyss of forgetfulness. This material energy throws us down into a state where we forget that we are eternal and blissful, and we identify ourselves with these material bodies. Within these material existence, there are 8,400,000 species of material bodies, and each one has a particular type of situation by which we can either enjoy or suffer. We act in forgetfulness of God, and whatever our action may be, it is subjecting us to the reactions called karma. Karma is the law of cause and effect. For every action, there is an equal corresponding reaction that we cannot avoid. If you put your hand in fire, you cannot avoid being burnt. Similarly, there are three modes of material nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance, sattva-guna, rajaguna, and tamaguna. And according to our activities under the influence of these modes, we accept a particular type of reaction. Sometimes it brings us happiness and sometimes distress. Sometimes success and sometimes failure. Sometimes honor and dishonor, pleasure and pain, birth and death. The three modes of material nature keep us always in a condition of duality. But Krishna explains that all these dualities are temporary. Abrahma bhuvanaloka punar avartanojuna mamupechetu konteya punarajanmana vijyate. Whether by performing pious activities you go to the highest heavenly planet of Brahmaloka, or whether you engage in gruesome sinful activities and go down to the lowest hellish planet, Patala Loka, they are all temporary places. They are all places of birth and death. So therefore, knowledge is to understand how to get out of this transmigration of the soul through various species of life. This human form of life is extremely rare. After suffering so many births, there are people of various religions. And just see how we really have very little in common. But when the congregational the chanting of the holy names begins, we all become one blissful, united family. We become one voice in the glorification of God. We become purified together, individually and collectively. So these types of gatherings are the most important means to bring about the solution to the problems of this world. And when we return to our homes, we should go home with the inspiration of what we have received here and live a life in harmony with the will of God, and always keep the name of God on your lips, and always keep the instructions of the Lord's devotees in your heart, and in this way achieve the real success of human existence. We are like fish out of water. The spirit soul by nature is meant to be swimming in the ocean of ecstatic love of God. But now we are on the dry shore of material life, and we are trying to find happiness somehow or other on this dry shore. But whatever arrangement the fish makes, as long as he's laying in the sand of material existence, he will never be satisfied. Srila Prabhupada has come on behalf of Krishna and the great Guru Parampara to show us the way back into the ocean
of Krishna consciousness, where we can be free and happy in devotion to the Lord. And that is really the solution to all our problems. Our problems will not be solved by economic or political means. They will only be solved through the purification of our consciousness, through developing love, compassion, mercy, the qualities of our very soul. So it is this sacrifice that Krishna is bringing to our attention. Jagyai sankirtana prayai yajantehi shumedashaha. It is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam that in this age of Kali Yuga, there was one great sacrifice which all people with good intelligence will perform. And that is the congregational chanting of Krishna's holy names. At this time, we would like to invite everyone to participate in this.
Mathematically, it's impossible that this earth and universe can be doing what it's doing without a brain. Mathematically, it's impossible. And that brain is what we mean by God. If God has such a brain and such power to create such a thing as this universe, is it a problem? Is it unbelievable for him to put it on the hood of a serpent? What do you say? Is it unbelievable? It's perfectly believable. Because God has revealed. If God creates the universe, doesn't he have the power to reveal to us how he's done it? And that's what the scriptures are. So if he explains this way, we accept it. It's not a problem. It's utterly believable. Only very small, crippled minds cannot believe such things. Only very egocentric people cannot believe these things. Because although they see miracles that are far beyond their comprehension at every moment, just in this material nature, they still think that if I can't do it, nobody can do it.
Naham prakasa sarvasya yoga maya samavrata mudhoyam navijanati lokamam ajamavyayam.
Krishna explains such people in the Gita. Those who are fools, who don't want to know, who don't want to see, who do not want to surrender, I cover them by my maya potency. And even though they're seeing the miracle of God everywhere around them, they don't believe that there's a God. Even though they're seeing miracles everywhere, they don't believe in miracles. Even though they see achintya shakti, inconceivable potencies taking place in all directions, they can't believe in anything that they can't do themselves, or that the politicians or scientists or weightlifters can't do, or what can't be done with computers or machines. But everything around them is being done beyond the capacity of anyone or anything of this world. Is that true? Is there any difficulty in understanding and accepting that? It's common sense. But the problem, this world has lost common sense. They have uncommon nonsense instead of common sense.
For my family, how to solve the problem for our nation, our culture. In the 1920s in America, there was a depression. The whole stock market crashed, and the whole nation was in total poverty practically. It was common that people were jumping off from the top of buildings and jumping from bridges onto roadsides and in rivers to commit suicide because they had no money to survive with their families. It was terrible. That's the richest nation in the world. And everyone's making their solutions on so many levels. And Prabhupada saw it is all ignorance. It is all delusion. Therefore, this Back to Godhead magazine must be printed. He didn't have any book distributors in those days, except himself. After he printed it, he would go out to the tea stalls and the roadsides, and with his own hands he would be convincing people, take this magazine, give some donation, please. You need to do it. And please try to understand, while Srila Prabhupada, that unknown beggar, in the crowded streets of Delhi, he did not stand out from practically any other beggar. From the social vision. And while he was out there just going to one person after another, trying to give them this little magazine back to Godhead, in his heart, he was convinced what his mission was. That this is the start of circulating this magazine by the millions all over the world. Giving knowledge in a world of ignorance. Giving light in a place of darkness. He had that faith. Sometimes it was so disastrous that at times Back to Godhead couldn't even be printed. It was impossible for him. Due to social conditions, economic conditions of the nation, of himself. But yet, Srila Prabhupada was always determined, Dhritavrata, to revive it. People must be given the opportunity to be Krishna conscious. So, this is so beautifully being illustrated by Srila Satsarupa Maharaj in this wonderful paragraph, Srila Prabhupada's glory. What the situation was in the world.
As people, they had to cross by all these social barriers to come to Nimai Pandit's house in the morning and beg him, please give us your mercy. And he told them, that at every moment, throughout the day, your whole life, never forget Krishna. Worship Krishna. Remember Krishna always. Serve him and his devotees. And chant his holy names. And then he gave them this Maha Mantra. He said, you chant this 32 syllable, 16 word mantra. It is the greatest of all mantras. By chanting this always, you will achieve the ultimate goal of pure love of God. Whether you are walking or sitting, chant this Maha Mantra. In your own homes, gather your family together, clap your hands and chant this Maha Mantra. If you have cymbals or mridangas, play these instruments and chant the Maha Mantra. But constantly chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and your life will be perfect. After hearing this instruction, tens and thousands of people all over Navadvip, wherever you would go, in the marketplaces, in the roads, in the homes, all you would hear is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. At that time, Bengal was under the rule of the Nawab Husain Shah, who was a Mughal terrorist who hated the Hindu faith. He made strict laws against any public demonstration of Hindu religion. When he heard people chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he was so angry. He would send his soldiers out. And anyone they would see, they would threaten. If we catch you again, we will beat you, plunder everything you have, and put you in prison. And they were very, very powerful
demoniac persons. Even people were getting devotees and general public who would chant, they would literally get beaten severely. They would have their house plundered. So the
what is the transcendental nature in comparison to this material world? The external energy is composed of the three modes of material nature. Rajaguna is the power within creation that creates. Tamaguna is that which destroys. And Sattvaguna is that which preserves. Therefore, there are three guna avatars also. Brahma is the creator. Therefore, he is in charge of Rajaguna, the mode of passion. Vishnu is the maintainer. Therefore, he is in charge of the mode of goodness, Sattvaguna. And Lord Shankar is the destroyer. Therefore, he is in charge of the mode of ignorance, Tamaguna. So, we can see how sex life is the basic principle of creation. It's like so many babies are born every day. And babies do not just grow from trees. That's what we may be taught when we're little children. I remember I once asked my mother, I said, because I had two brothers, and I thought I should have another brother. So I said to my mother, please, tell me what I can do to get another brother. Because I didn't know. So I asked her, what is the process by which I can have a baby? She said, if you wish real hard and pray to God, then he will give you baby. So I wished real hard and prayed to God, but I never had baby. Nor did she. But still, I wished. So parents, they like to say so many stories of how children are born, to young children, because you don't really want to tell them what you have to do. How do you have children, mother? They grow like fruits on trees. But actually, somehow or other, when you grow up and you start seeing the reality of material existence, you understand sex life is necessary to have children. If you want to create, you have sex. And therefore, sex is the manifestation of Rajaguna Prasad. And he was eating and eating and eating. And by the time he finished his plate of prasad, he was purified. And he started looking at Lakshmi with the respect and reverence of a child looking at his mother. And he said, dear Mataji, please forgive my offenses. Please forgive my sinful tendencies. Please take me to your guru and let me surrender to him. So she was very happy. And Varadacharya and Lakshmi and this sinful man, they all went back to Varadacharya's house. And all three of them paid their dandavats to Sripad Ramanujacharya. And this man, he was crying, he was weeping, I am so sinful. I am thinking like this about your disciples for so long, but now I only want to surrender my life to you. Please free me of my bad habits. And on that day, Ramanujacharya gave this man initiation, diksha. He had such a changed heart. And from then on, He was completely self-controlled and pure and humble and gentle. And then he offered, because actually it was Lakshmi and Varadacharya that made him a devotee. And he saw how they were actually suffering from being so poor. So right in the presence of Ramanujacharya, he said, I will give huge sums of money to you. I will give you great wealth so you don't have to suffer poverty. You can use it all in Krishna's service. And Bharadacharya didn't want it. Ramanujacharya was perfectly in agreement that they're devotees. Why should they be in such poverty? Why should they be suffering, begging? You can take the money, live comfortably. Sudama Vipra did like that, no problem. But Varadacharya said to Ramanuja, he said, please, he said, I am content living a simple life, serving your devotees and chanting the holy names. If I have this wealth, I may become attached. If I have this wealth, then I may become envious of someone who has more wealth. Therefore, please, let me live with nothing. This is my prayer. So that myself and my wife could live a simple and hard life. Therefore, hearing the topics of the Lord and hearing the character and activities of the pure devotee have the same result, namely the development of devotional service. Vidura has approached Maitreya Rishi. For the development of his consciousness toward the ultimate goal of life. Of course, Vidura was already a perfect devotee, a dear friend of Lord Krishna. Yet, the nature of a great Vaishnava is to be very humble and to never think that one is great. Great Vaishnavas are always eager to receive the mercy and blessings of superior personalities. In fact, Vidura apparently had a much more intimate relationship with Krishna than Maitreya Rishi. Krishna instructed Maitreya Rishi. But for Vidura, Krishna would allow him to massage his feet, allow him to feed him. He was a very dear servant. But the devotees of the Lord, when they are actually filled with the mercy of Krishna, they reveal the innermost nature of their hearts, which is very humble, very sincerely eager to receive the mercy of Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Vidura's inquiries from Maitreya Rishi are not just a show. They are genuine and sincere. They are coming from the core of his heart. Otherwise, why the great Acharya Shukadev Goswami Maharaj is spending so much of his narration describing this genuine exchange of transcendental devotion between Vidura and Srila Maitreya Rishi? The topics of the devotees of Hariha, that they are not ordinary low-class people. They are demigods. Hare Krishna.
If you're seen by demigods, it's all right. Is there any other questions?
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, you were explaining about the gopis' love for Krishna and how they were lamenting and totally crying, weeping when Krishna left them to form Mathura, and he didn't even return after killing Kamsa for hundreds of years. So they were totally lamenting on Krishna's separation. We also hear that Krishna reciprocates as according to our desire as you approach him. So gopis wanted Krishna all the time to be with him then, but Krishna, he did not care to their reciprocation. He was away even after hundreds of years after the killing Kamsa. So he did not come to Vrindavan after from Mathura. So can you explain how is this?
He reciprocated perfectly with the desire of gopis. The gopis wanted to serve him and please him with their life and soul. And within the heart, he reciprocated with them, and he was ultimately pleased by the gopis. That was their desire. Their desire was not their own sense gratification. The only reason they were in such separation from Krishna is they knew it would please Krishna to be in that separation, because it's such an intense expression of ultimate love. Their desire was not to enjoy Krishna. Their desire was to please Krishna. And in that separation, they pleased him even more than when he was there. Because the intensity of their one-pointed focus of devotion was constantly fixed in remembering him, serving him. Such an ocean of love was being offered to Krishna. Therefore, Krishna perfectly fulfilled their desire. And he was personally there to reciprocate with those desires. Krishna left Vrindavan to increase the service of the gopis and the Vrijavasis. He left Vrindavan
in this wonderful pastime in helping the Lord clean the temple to prepare it to be a wonderful place for Krishna to manifest. And this is actually the whole story of the Hare Krishna movement. United, we work together in a spirit of devotion and sacrifice to clean the temple of our heart, to clean the temple of other people's hearts, through living very pure lives and through wonderful congregational chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So through the power of Srila Prabhupada's mercy and his blessings upon these great souls, Krishna has come to Bangalore in the wonderful way to induce the whole city and the whole world to chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Thank you very much.